We'll come to order. The director will please move to the roll.
Absolutely. Board member Fuentes.
Present.
Board member Fitzgerald. Absent. Board member Hayden.
Mindy, I thought I saw you as muted earlier.
She's unmuted.
Mindy, can you hear us? Okay, well, we'll keep moving and hopefully she can chime in when she gets in.
Thank you.
Board member Tan.
Present.
Board member Lahavi. Absent. Board member Celine. Absent. Board member Klein.
Present.
Board member Zimmerman.
Present.
And Chairperson Williams.
Present.
All right, so we have five, we have six present, five able to participate. So if Mindy's able to get her audio hooked up, we'll have six members present. So either way, we're able to operate.
We're good. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. So the first item on the agenda is the declaration of any conflict of interest. None being noted, we'll move forward. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and approval of the board meeting minutes. August 31st. Is there any discussion?
No.
Is there a motion?
I'll raise a motion to approve the August 31st meeting minutes. This is Board Member Zimmerman.
Board Member Fontes, I will second.
Thank you, and thank you for acknowledging your names. I appreciate that. Motion by Board Member Zimmerman and seconded by Board Member Fontes to approve the minutes as presented and not amended. So all those in favor, aye.
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 All opposed? Aye. Okay, the final vote passes unanimously. The director will please record the vote. The next item on the agenda is the review, discussion, and possible action regarding application for licensure and certification. Director Jaminski, can you please provide a summary?
Absolutely. Chairperson Williams, board members. We have several individuals who are up for, who have had their license or certificate issued by me between the last board meeting and now for you to review and ratify. There's six license applicants and two certificate applicants. Of those who were applicants for licensure, four of them were using the universal recognition route, meaning that they had been licensed elsewhere, and so they had to submit the fingerprints to us and their license verification, but otherwise they didn't have to turn in transcripts or be reviewed in other ways that a regular applicant would be reviewed. Our other two individuals have met the minimum requirements for licensure, passed the proper exams and certifications, and didn't have any other information in their background which would disqualify them for licensure. And so I recommend that you ratify these licenses and certificates for initial licensure and certification.
All right. Is there any discussion? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to support Member Fontes. I'll make a motion to ratify the licenses.
This is Board Member Zimmerman, and I'll second the motion.
Very good. The motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Zimmerman to grant licensure is passed. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Do we need a roll call vote on the phone?
That would probably be a Seamus.
This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. I don't think that requires, there's no disciplinary action or anything taken against anybody's license today, so I don't think it needs a roll call vote.
Okay.
Great question, Secretary Fontes. Thank you. Okay, so any opposed? None opposed, all in favor, the vote passes unanimously. The director will please record the vote. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda for ratification of renewal of licenses and certificates issued by the executive director. These applicants are considered routine and have been previously addressed by the board. They will be passed by one motion unless a member of the board requests that an item be removed from the consent. Are there any items to be removed from consent? Okay, none noted. Then is there a motion on the consent? Is there a motion on the consent? Is there a motion for the consent?
Can you review this consent?
Chairperson Williams, yes. Board Member Fontes, this is just a list of individuals who their licenses were renewed between the last board meeting and this one. And so they're on the agenda just to notice to the world that these people have been renewed and for the board to.
So this has already been done. We're just kind of like, what's the difference between the ratification and this?
This is a ratification.
I thought we just did that. That's what's confusing.
So you ratified the
new applicants
of new licenses previously.
This is the ratified renewals.
So this is the renewals.
All right. Yes. I make a motion to ratify the renewals. Board Member Fontes.
Is there a second?
This is Board Member Tam. I second that.
Okay. Motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Tam to approve the consent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, none opposed. The vote passes unanimously and the director will record the vote. Thank you.
And Chairperson Williams, yes. Board members, I apologize. For item five on the agenda, Board Member Fontes moved to ratify the issuance of the licenses. And I'm not clear if he meant to include the two certificate holders also, or if you want to do those on a separate motion.
Let me clarify. I would like to include the two certificate holders.
Very so good.
I apologize for that.
No.
Good point of clarification. Thank you.
Okay. Board Member, Executive Director Jarominski, I've got a quick question. Sure. With the universal recognition, do we have any red flags for any states, or are we just universally recognizing all states at the moment?
At this point, it's all states. So okay. The universal recognition is for any state that has a license with a similar scope of practice. And we have a scope of practice that's so it's both broad and very tight at the same time. And so because of that, it fits into most all the other scopes of the other states. So,
right. Confirmed. Thank you.
Very good question. Thank you for raising that. All right.
This is board member Hayden. Can you guys hear me now?
Hi. Yes, we can, Mindy.
Yeah. Hey, Mindy.
Hey, Mindy.
Great photo, too. Love your dog. Okay. I see that Ella Hamer has joined.
Ella. Hello, Ella.
I'm thinking that might be board member. Probably.
Ah.
Is Ella Hamer, is that... Is that a board member or? Still muted.
Well, any question to Ella Fitzgerald? I have all your records.
Of course you do.
Okay, well, we'll see as we go, I suppose.
Okay, very good. The next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding changes to statutes or rules. Director Jarominski.
Absolutely. And this agenda item is a little bit of a carryover from the last meeting. The board asked me to put together some language for an inactive status for our licensees. I've done that, and that's in your materials under statutory changes, draft inactive status language. So I just want the board to, you know, review this and, you know, give me your feedback as far as whether or not you feel this does what you want it to do, and if it's clear and precise. For example.
And that's in the, I didn't look at that one. I'll do it now.
It's in the statutory changes in the election of officers. Is that it?
No, it's under, I'm sorry, under statutory changes, draft inactive status language. The bottom one.
I see it.
Okay. So the question for this is, for me, is do you want this to be for both your acupuncturists and your irregulars? As currently it's written just for acupuncturists. And do you want to have a fee to maintain these inactive licenses? And so if you do, there's some, you know, complications surrounding that. And so that's a discussion to be had.
So you're saying that they can put it in active and not pay?
So so different agencies, you know, across the nation have it differently. Some places you can place your license in an inactive status, basically indefinitely. You know, you can't practice, you can't, you know, represent yourself as a licensee, but you have it, basically your license is on hold. And if you ever wanted to come back, you would pay the renewal fee and then be able to work as an acupuncturist.
And they, so if somebody wanted to do it, would they just file once and then year after year it rolls over until eternity?
So the way that this is written, because I had that concern, is, you know, a person might fall for an inactive status and then it just sits in inactive status for, you know, 150 years because we don't know what happened to this person, right? So so I have in here that a licensee may renew the inactive status every 2 years using a form prescribed by the board. So it would be a 2-year inactive status, and that can be renewed indefinitely, basically, as long as the person kept contacting us for that renewal.
Seems reasonable.
So the question is, if you don't want a fee, then the way it's written now is probably fine. If you do want a fee to maintain that file, then, you know, if you add a new fee, you need a 2/3 majority vote in the House and Senate, which is, you know, not always, not always the thing they want to do for new fees. The other question is whether or not we could apply one of our other statutory fees to that and then, you know, define it. We have an interesting statute where it says the board will vote every January and set fees. And so, and also it sets a fee for acupuncture license, right? And so acupuncture license renewal. And so an inactive acupuncture license is an acupuncture license. You could theoretically, you know, set a fee every January for, you know, what you would charge for that inactive status, that sort of thing. And so, you know, you have some options, and I just don't know if you want a fee or if you don't. Either way, you know, it's fine for us.
So if we have a fee, then we have to go through the House and Senate.
I don't feel that you do necessarily. It'd be cleaner, but I'm not sure that you absolutely have to.
How much administrative hours? I mean, is it such of a burden that we should charge for it to maintain our staff costs?
So I'm not anticipating that this is going to be a huge body of individuals on this inactive status, but you will still need, you know, we'll have to send them notices that their inactive status is going to expire. We'll get applications that we'll have to process. We'll have to enter them into the system. We'll have to send them out something that says, you know, inactive status license, you know, and so there are costs associated with it. But, you know, I don't know if it would be something that
I'm okay with an administrative fee that's nominal unless we have to go through chutes and ladders to get it.
Right.
Yeah, this is board member Tam. I agree. I think there should be a small, like $20 or something, like a 10% of a regular annual fee, that just to pay something to keep it active, you know?
$25 to process the fee is not a lot. or process the paperwork. I would pay
would
it.
Would that go on an annual basis?
No, 2 years.
So every time that it renews, it would be the $25 fee? Is that what the proposal is? I think that makes total
I must say it is, this is board member Tam, I must say it is a little odd to do 2 years if everyone else is on 1 year, but I agree it could be just $25 for 2 years, but I just wonder if we should just revise it to be an annual thing like everyone else, you know?
Mm-hmm. David, what are your thoughts on that?
That's fine too. You know, the only reason I put a 2 year thing in is because mm-hmm. it's an inactive license. The person isn't, you know, practicing.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and it would make sense if it less administration for you, if it was going to be free to give a longer standing right. period, you know.
And my thought process is these are people who are, you know, they've gone to China for training for, you know, a couple of years. They've, you know, moved to Oregon and they don't know if they're going to be back, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so they want to have a little longer period so they don't have to worry about it. But, you know, I don't think a 1 year renewal is a burden necessarily. And so, you know, that's what you want to do.
I'd like to weigh in on this since I have several inactive licenses in other states. I would recommend 2 years at a minimum, even up to 5 years, because it is work. It does require labor. And if we can streamline and limit that, I think it's to our benefit and charge accordingly.
Okay. I like that too.
Mm-hmm. What kind of fees do you pay?
What do I pay? A very nominal fee, under $100.
Okay. Good. That's
yeah, this is Board Member Tan. I think the $25 for 2 years would be fine. I'm a bit reluctant to extend it beyond 2 years. We got to make sure the people who are inactive because they have a small chance of becoming active again one day. You know, I don't want them just hanging on there.
Here's a wild card. How about $10 a year for up to 5 years?
That's not a bad idea. It's just an administrative.
Collect the whole set,
David.
Can we ask Seamus's opinion on this, since he probably has
executive
other, boards?
This is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. This really is a policy question, so it is up to the discretion of the board. It's not really a legal issue.
Okay.
Good to hear from you, though, Seamus. You're still awake. We appreciate that.
Well, thank
you. Just checking.
Very good. Okay, so anything from you, Dr. Klein?
So I apologize for missing past discussions on this. To clarify, I'm under the impression this is to prevent people from having to go through the entire certification process again.
Right.
Should they return?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If someone's license expires, how long do they have? What's the grace period before they have to do a full application again?
60 days.
Okay. I'd be curious to know what other states do. So maybe, I don't know if Board Member Zimmerman could maybe expand on that a little bit. And just to kind of be consistent with sort of what other people are doing, I think makes sense.
I'm happy to expand upon it. For example, Hawaii, I'm licensed there, and it's pretty much permanent. I have to fulfill certain requirements in order to activate it again, and we would have the same requirements appropriate for our board. I believe a $100 flat fee would simplify it, no matter whether you're going to inactivate it for 1 year or up to 5 years, would simplify the process and generate revenue for our board. I feel this is a fair manner in which to handle it, and I'd like to hear other people's feedback.
Are there other boards that that you're aware of that have that type of a strategy, David? What about homeopathy?
The homeopathy board does not have an inactive status. There are other boards that have inactive statuses. You know, in Arizona, I know that, you know, not exactly healthcare related, but the Board of Technical Registration has an inactive status. I think theirs is 5 years. I think California has the California Acupuncture Board has an inactive status. And they have, want to say they have different requirements for people who are inactive for 2 years versus people who are inactive for a longer period of time. You know, the psychology board in Arizona has an inactive status, and I think theirs is every 2 years. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of all across the board as far as what different agencies are doing. And I think it's just whatever makes sense for your profession and the way, you know, how transitory are your licensees and that sort of thing. So
can I add, I think it's important that we denote specific requirements. For example, if I was to activate my Hawaii license again, I would have to fulfill 5 years of continuing ed requirements. Mm-hmm. And also note the changes that have occurred with the statutes and regulations, that I agree to them.
Can I, would it be helpful if I read the, it's like, I don't know, two or three paragraphs, if I read the changes?
Yes.
Please.
Okay. So this is a change to 32-3925, which is our statute for renewal of license. And so it would add inactive status to that section. It says, mm-hmm. E, a licensee who retires from the active practice of acupuncture or who is not currently practicing acupuncture in this state may request that the board place the license on inactive status. The licensee shall submit the request in a format prescribed by the board. F, a licensee may not apply for inactive status if the license has expired or is under investigation. G, a licensee on inactive status may request reactivation by applying to the board. The board may reactivate an inactive license if the licensee submits a completed application on a form prescribed by the board and the renewal fee. The board shall determine whether a licensee applying for reactivation has been or is in violation of any provision of this chapter, and whether the person has maintained and updated the person's professional knowledge and capability to practice as an acupuncturist. The board may require knowledge or skill training. A licensee may renew the inactive status every 2 years using a form prescribed by the board. Any person who performs acupuncture while on an inactive license status is considered to have practiced acupuncture without a license. So it does have a section in there for the board being able to require, you know, CE, but it's not specific as to the amount. It kind of leaves it up to the board. So that's, you know, that's something to think about.
So the idea of just like cumulatively obtaining the number of hours that you have missed over the last 2 years or whatever the time period is, as a component to the reactivation of the license, is that's what we're discussing right now? I think that you made a great point there, Rosemary.
Yeah, this is Board Member Tan. I think that is what we're discussing, just in the case of someone extending this inactive mm-hmm. license for an extended period, like 10 or 15 mm-hmm. years, or what are right. our concerns then? I feel like people, for the most part, if they're, you know, if they're inactive for a couple of years, or they're having a child and they just want to take a couple of years off, or they're having their third child, whatever that is, mm-hmm. yeah, do we require CEs for that? I'm not sure, you know? Mm-hmm.
And is there going to be as in the case of Rosemary, where in Hawaii it would be an indefinite period, would we have a limit that it's 5 years, it's 10 years?
Right. Whatever? And I think that's what we kind of need to make clear, so the person has a clear decision-making mm-hmm. process. If I'm away for 2 years, I can just reactivate it without any problem. If I'm away for 5 years, I'm going to have to show some CEU. I mean, a lot of these people may just be practicing in other states and come back, and it wouldn't be a problem for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then would that be tied to whether or not you were practicing during that period of time that you were out? You were in school in China, to use the examples that have been brought to the board here, or you were in another state. Would that in any way impact the decision of the board?
I think it would, but it would be subjective. So I think it'd be better if we had clear in the language that, you know, for anything inactive under 5 years, we don't have any clear specifics on it, what the requirement is. And perhaps after 5 years, for example, we would have a clear requirement.
Okay. Good comment. Does anyone else care to comment on where we're at? See if we can bring this together. It sounds like we're all clear that having an inactive status option is a good thing. I think the items left on the table are the amount, because we've had a couple of different amounts discussed, and then the tenure, and if there is a cap on the amount of time that you can, in fact, renew your license to active status. So would anyone like to make a motion, make a suggestion?
And Chairperson Williams, just from an administrative standpoint, my desire recommendation would be that there be some sort of cap on the time frame, because if it's basically a forever inactivation, you know, that's fine, but you may end up having a situation where we have, you know, in 20 years we have a role with a lot of individuals who are no longer with us or no longer interested or, you know, whatever. And so
I agree.
Yeah.
What is our what's our current license renewal fee?
$275.
What if every 5 years they just paid the full renewal fee?
That might become a little tricky if you want to renew in 2 years, or you want to become active again in 2 years. Does it prorate down? I don't know.
I think a 5-year cap is reasonable.
A 5-year cap for the amount of time that you could go inactive without and still have the ability to renew your license and regain your profession. Is that what you're suggesting, Mario?
Yeah, and then if at the end of 5 years I want to renew again, I would elect or not.
I mean, this is Board Member Tam. I agree with Board Member Fontes in a way that was simple. So we would just have a 5-year period where we don't require any CEUs. If they wanted to go beyond that, they would have to renew for a year and they could go inactive again, I suppose.
I just want to add, this is Board Member Zimmerman. We want to encourage commerce. We want to encourage people to return to our state and support, provide economic support. So I suggest a lower fee, maybe $100 for the 5 years. And I think the 5-year recommendation is excellent.
I could go with that. I can get behind that.
Does anyone object to that?
And this is Board Member. I mean, you could just make it $100 for five. You could make it $100 for 5 years. And if you pulled out short, there was no prorating in the fee. It was either for 1 year up to 5 years type of thing.
Exactly.
Agreed. Hey, would anyone like to make a motion to that?
I will try. This is Board Member Fontes. I would like to I get some help from my friends.
Make a motion
to cap the inactive license at 5 years with $100 flat fee for administrative purposes.
I second that motion. I think it's excellent.
David, does that feel complete to you?
You know, I think that if we, I just want to look at our statute for a second. Because I want to say that I think that's perfectly fine as long as you include that we're approving the rest of the language as well. And for
I would like to include that I'm approving the rest of the language as well.
And I second that.
And a second. Yeah. All right.
I apologize. Go ahead.
Does the sound work? This is Board Member Lahavi. Does the sound work?
Oh, yes, you're not Ella?
My daughter's. Yeah, same thing. So we didn't end up deciding on the continuing education. Just decided on the 5 years, but it doesn't mention the requirement for continuing education on that.
Correct.
Are we supposed to?
I think, and Chairperson Williams, Board Member Lahavi, I think that in item H on that list, it says that the board may require knowledge or skill training, but it doesn't say it have to. And so I think we leave that language in there just in case there is an individual who, you know, is filing for reactivation, And the board looks at the application and says, well, this person is literally, you know,
checked out for the last 5 years.
Nothing for the last 5 years, and they need some sort of training. And so
exactly. I
think keep the capacity, but not necessarily require it for every individual, so that we're treating people like individuals. So.
Agreed.
Very good question, Lahavi. Thank you. But I agree with the response there, that it truly is contained within the language. Okay, so we had the motion by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Zimmerman to increase the inactive status time to 5 years and to do so at a $100 flat fee. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Fantastic. So the vote passes unanimously, and the director will please record the vote. The next item on the agenda. Excuse me.
I apologize. I keep interrupting. Chairperson Williams, board members, just so you know, with the way that this is structured, it's not going to be a renewal of a license. It's going to be basically a hold of an inactive license. And so because of that, we don't have a fee structure that the language would go with. And so in order to have that $100 fee, we will have to have a statute change to create it, most likely. And so I can talk to Seamus and, you know, legislative counsel over at the legislature and, you know, see what they think. But it's likely that you will have to have a fee.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that point of clarification. All right, so the next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding fee and continuing education waivers related to COVID-19. Director Jerminski.
And Chairperson Williams, board members, this is just an update. The last meeting, board voted to cease the fee waivers as of November 1st, and that so that those individuals who whose license renews all the way up to December 31st can renew their license without a fee. And so we are doing that. We sent out the notice letting everyone know that the fee waiver was shutting off. And so we've been getting a lot of paper applications so that people can get their December renewals in because the system only allows you to do it 60 days ahead of time, which is fine. The only, just as far as budget goes associated with that, we're looking at having about $95,000 in the bank as of the 1st of January. So it's right about where you want it to be.
Okay, good. Good.
That's a great update. Thank you. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding ratification of the chemical dependency program approval for Crossing Arrows Counseling Services. So, Director Jerminski, would you please provide an overview? I'm looking at the copy here.
Absolutely. And board members, this Crossing Arrows Counseling Services submitted their application. This is a pretty straightforward situation. And they meet the requirements in the substantive policy statement. The board has previously authorized me to approve applications for licenses, permits, certificates, and so on. And after discussing it with your chairperson, I approved this chemical dependency program for work at the end of, in the middle of September. And so this is a ratification of that approval. This is the individual who's running it was previously with
The Haven.
With The Haven, which we've had several presentations from, and seems more than qualified to run an institution like this. And so my recommendation is to ratify the approval.
Yeah, Mario, this is the woman that we met in Tucson. Leanna Canelo. Yeah. Okay, very good. Is there any discussion? Yes, Lahavi.
I think I couldn't figure out their website. It's not, did anyone try to go on it? This is the CAC, the CACstucson.com. Is that
CAC Tucson, CACS Tucson? Mm-hmm. Crossing Arrows Counseling Services, Tucson.com. I did not. I have met Liana Candelo multiple times. And she's very active in the AccuDetox in Tucson area. So I did not go onto her website.
It doesn't look like the website that they provided in the application is, active at the moment. It may be that they're still, putting together the program. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that they're supervising acupuncturist Stella Estrada. I also had the opportunity to meet her, and I know that she's been practicing acupuncturist for many years also, mm-hmm. Running the AccuDetox program for the Havens.
And Stella is an individual who supervised many auricular acupuncturists in the past. So.
Right, yes.
Right, and maybe... Director Jaraminski, you could just let them know that we're a little concerned because the website that was listed was not active.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they're legitimate, but yeah, it would help to legitimize them, I think, for the public.
Thank you. I believe that it's kind of a startup situation. Liana left the Haven Oil not very long ago. But no, it's a very good point, and thank you for bringing it forward. I appreciate it. Okay, any additional discussion? All right, is there a motion?
What's the name of it?
It is Crossing Arrows Counseling Services.
I make a motion to approve the application for Crossing Arrows Counseling Services.
I'll second that motion. This is Board Member Zimmerman.
Very good. Motion made by Board Member Fontes and seconded by Board Member Zimmerman to approve the Crossing Arrows Counseling Services application for auricular acupuncture. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. It passes unanimously, and the director will please record the vote. Next on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding Executive Director's report. Director Jaminski.
Yeah, members, I don't have a huge update, just that, I've already told you as far as our budget goes, watching my revenue stream is depressing lately, but but I think it's also depressing for our acupuncturists, so I'm glad the board's been able to help, many of those people who, I've received, a lot of letters and emails and, notes on applications saying, thank the board so much for what they've done. This has been a big help this year and really helped me, turn the corner, and I didn't know how I was going to pay for my renewal and that sort of thing. So, from your licensees to me, to you, thank you so much for, waiving all those fees. It was, I think, a big help for a lot of people. So like I said, our budget, we're going to be sitting at about $95,000-ish in January, maybe a little bit more, like 95.5, something like that. Legislation, obviously we're going forward with last year's legislation again. Looks like we'll be doing the inactive status legislation. That will probably run separately because I don't want to muddy the waters with the other bill that was, going so well. With this one, if we're going to end up having to put a fee in, just because that requires a different voting process. And so we'll probably have two separate bills for those issues. We don't have any pending complaints at the moment. And otherwise, current events, board office highlights. Obviously, we lost Melissa, and we're looking for another individual to fill that position. There are a couple of individuals who have reached out to me even prior to posting it. I haven't posted it yet. And so they've, they may or may not, fit the role. And if so, I'll put them through kind of an examination, do this research, write this letter, that sort of thing, and then review, what their work product looks like. And if it's adequate, we'll bring them in. The other consideration for me is whether we change the position from full-time to part-time and then pay the person more per hour, but end up paying less per year. But there's a lot of plus and minuses, that sort of thing, as far as losing benefits, and losing, you know, a warm body answering phones and emails during the day all day and that sort of thing. So it's a process. I expect to have it either have someone or have it posted within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, working there is the benefits outweigh the money. So I would rather see somebody get that opportunity to get those benefits.
Right.
Well, I'm also concerned, as we discussed, David, that should you reduce this to a part-time position and then things ramp up, it's much more difficult to reinstate to a full-time slot, is my understanding.
Correct. It is.
Okay. All right. Is there any additional discussion? I'm personally very pleased that our legislation is moving forward, and it was picked up again by Senator Brophy McGee. That was a very good sign that she was still going to be in favor of that. I wasn't sure, given everything that's going on, if we were going to maintain that status, but we'll certainly hope for smooth sailing on that. Is there any other discussion today? Any other discussion on David's report? Great. Is there a motion?
I don't think I need a motion for anything on my report unless something specific they want me to do.
Great. Okay, the next item on the agenda is review, discussion, and possible action regarding board meeting dates and times. Director Jerminski, you have them listed here in our notes, and we have them on here as December 8th, 2020. We had decided that we were going to pass on November, and so we moved it between the two holidays. January 27th, but that would be 2021.
And yes, very correct. Yeah, all those, the January through May would be 2021.
February 24th, March 24th, April 28th, and May 26th, 2021. So does anyone have...
December 8th is a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think okay. That was the only day we could get a room at the time. So I don't know if that...
Oh, very good. Okay.
Matters. Yeah, maybe not do anymore, so...
Yeah. Hey. No discussion, then is there a motion to pass to acknowledge these dates as our moving forward dates?
I'll raise a motion to approve the dates specified as read for our meeting dates through May 2021.
Very good. Is there a second?
I second the motion, Member Lahavi.
Okay, so motion made by Board Member Zimmerman and seconded by Board Member Lahavi to accept the dates as outlined on the agenda with the adjustment of January through May being 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, any opposed? Very good, it passes unanimously. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the call to public on non-agenda items. Being that we are meeting telephonically, I don't believe that we had any applications to have anyone speak from the public, so we'll just continue to move forward on that. All right, are there any items that board members would like to be placed on future agendas?
I'll talk to Chairperson Williams, but we do have two individuals from Pima who have called in, mm-hmm. and I think they might want to do some sort of call to the public to the board.
Okay.
Catherine and Jonathan, is that the case?
Jonathan? Mm-hmm. Yes, that is the case.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Madam Chairman, members of the board, for the record, my name is Jonathan Lindsay, representing Pima Acupuncture College and Clinic, and I have with me here on the phone Catherine Nemec, president and founder of the college. I see by the time that we might just make the 1 hour mark, so we'll make our comments briefly so that we can get out of here in time. Specifically, we are taking speaking to you today, that was Mario leaving, regarding a scope of a Sunrise application that we'll be filing on Friday to meet the November 1 deadline. And it's an application to increase the scope of licensed acupuncturists in the state of Arizona. We did send a one-page document to Director Jerominski yesterday afternoon, and I don't know if he has shared that with you at this point, but we'll briefly talk through a couple of the points just to make you aware of what we were doing. And we are in the final stages, I would say, probably just 24 hours from having the completed package ready to go. But specifically, we're looking at an expansion of the scope to permit licensed acupuncturists to fully use the contemporary tools that are a part of graduate and postgraduate training, but that aren't clearly articulated in the scope right now, and to allow for the potential use of future things that as they are being developed and researched. The specific ones that we're looking at seeking are the use of laser therapies or cold laser therapies. Those of you who have been around the board for a couple of years know that the Board of Radiology provided some good language on that to the board. Use of injection therapies, specifically that would be injection of herbs and other natural substances into acupuncture points, treatment of animals with acupuncture. So those are the top three within that category. And as a part of that, we are following the lead of the physical therapists and the athletic trainers. And they're, in the last couple of years, as you know, they've used specific language that increases the scope, but then gives the board itself the power to set what those training standards would be. So our hope is that we can then, once this passes, work with you, provide information to you on what the national trend is, national standards, and what ACOM is recommending as teaching methods and standards for that to demonstrate competency. Moving on to the next one, we do want to, or we're proposing a clarification that herbal medicine is fully within the scope. As you know, adjunctive therapies contains the definition for herbal poultices. That was actually a part of a slight mistake in the original enabling legislation, where it was meant to say herbs and poultices, and that was combined to the herbal poultices. So we want to clarify that herbal medicine is completely within that scope. We are adding a line or adding an additional thing to the scope, the Sunrise application, to permit the acupuncture board to create the category of acupuncture assistants. And what we're hearing from a lot of our grads and practitioners out in the field is, as we move towards more integrated settings, as there is the possibility of increasing use of or increasing reimbursement from insurance, there might be some smaller job functions that are non-critical that could be served by an acupuncture assistant, an entry-level person who might be able to do something that your medical assistant would perform when you go to see your MD or a physical therapy assistant. And in that category, we're thinking along the lines of, general intake questions that get you prepped for the acupuncturist, vitals, possibly for those practitioners who are comfortable with the level of education, enabling that acupuncture assistant to extract needles. But the critical functions as well as the diagnostics would remain with the licensed acupuncturist.
I apologize. Please go forward. Yeah, I will have several questions. Thank you, Jonathan. I apologize for interrupting.
Not a problem, Madam Chairman. Just very quickly, we had two more lines that we were including. One was to enable or to permit licensed acupuncturists to specifically request and order allied health and Western clinical and radiological tests. Those might be blood draws, MRIs, any x-rays, any kind of radiographic things. And again, that would fall under that first category in the top line of we would seek to have the the Board of Acupuncture set the standards for competency for a practitioner who would do that. And then finally, so that I can wrap this up quickly, we are going to also push the same angle that Director Jaraminski, pardon my use of the word angle, the same issue that Director Jaraminski introduced this year, and that of expanding the venue at which an auricular acupuncture technician can do the NADA protocol. And that would be to include PTSD stress clinics under the supervision of a licensed acupuncturist. And so with that, Madam Chairman,
yes,
members of the board.
So, yeah, I would love to have a little bit more discussion about the addition of laser therapy and cold laser therapies. Are you proposing this as an integral part of the training that every school would need to include, and there would be additional fees for any licensed acupuncturist? The same question regarding injection therapies and treatment of animals.
Madam Chairman,
Madam Chair, this is Seamus Monahan, Assistant Attorney General. This is agendized under the call to the public, so we really can't have a discussion or ask questions on the matter.
Okay.
However, if you would like to agendize this for deeper discussion at a future board meeting, we could definitely do that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because it'll already have been submitted for, 60 days by that time. But the time frame is some concerning. So, okay.
Let's still agendize it for discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Madam Chairman, members of the of the board, we're absolutely willing to continue this. I know Catherine Nemec has also indicated she would like to make a public comment. If the Assistant Attorney General is okay with, perhaps she can make that as part of her 5-minute comments. But either way, we will submit to the board the entire package, and we are open to public comment. The November 1 deadline is one that we are aiming to, once we have it filed, the legislation surrounding Sunrise applications does permit us to amend it after it's filed. It's just that initial notification that we must do by November 1. So with that, Madam Chairman, I conclude my comments to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay, this is Catherine Nemec, and hello, everyone. And we've been basing this presentation of the Sunrise application, working with the state association. These are things that they've been discussing for quite some time, but also on behalf of our students and alumni in the workplace. Many of these things, for example, the laser is already taught in school, and we find that we think it's in the scope of practice already under mechanical. And we teach at least 60 hours of that. In any event, the standard is 60 hours, and some people will go on to do more work after they graduate. And the same thing with the injection therapy. It's not taught in schools currently, although that's changing. But what's happening is that student graduates are learning it through continuing education afterwards. And this is the standard. Several others oversee injection therapy, and they base it on the continuing education certificate that someone will have received. And so that's the other thing. In fact, dry needling was established through a continuing education route. And so we think that this is the trend of practitioners everywhere. They are actually adding things on through this continuing education training. So in my discussions with the executive director of the accrediting commission, he indicated that we are encouraging us to build that in through the route and also add in more ground medicine. So including the Western tests, diagnostic tests, students receive that training while they're in school. So this would be just allowing them legally to do that. And part of the motivation for all of this is that our practice insurer needs to see certain types of language similar to other states. They can then actually cover it specifically. So herbs, for example, because the way it's written in the statute right now doesn't permit them to actually cover it. And of course, this is a very important piece. We have the most trainable training of all the integrative healthcare professions, and it's part of our education. And so it really needs to be clearly indicated. So anyways, we're we're starting the discussion by starting the Sunrise Review. We know that we're going to be interacting with several other groups and parties. I did talk to Susie Cannata, who's in charge of the athletic trainer discussion. Their bill, their Sunrise passed, and they had a legislative bill which got cut short by COVID. They'll be back in again, and they're supportive of ours as well. So we have to do the basic education and lobbying, and we anticipate there'll be much more discussion with this board and with the other parties to create the best optimal legislation for this state and for this board. So, but also permits the growth of the medicine as it's practiced in the United States now. So anyways, thank you so much for hearing us, and we look forward to working with you.
Thank you, Catherine. Okay, so I heard Mario state that you wanted this placed on the next agenda.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. David, please make that happen. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, there being no further business, I call for a motion to adjourn.
I'll raise a motion to adjourn the meeting. This is Board Member Zimmerman.
Thank you. A second?
I second.
A second.
Okay, I think everyone seconded. Let's acknowledge that this was motion was brought by Board Member Zimmerman, and we'll say Board Member and seconded by Board Member Lahavi. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Very good. Those opposed? Fantastic. That passes unanimously. The director will record the vote, and we are adjourned at 1:02 p.m.
Thank you.